and so glad that you're able to join us today. So, how many of you remember this? This is the building at 181 Western Avenue. We started meeting in this building the beginning of January. We met there for 2 months, and it was crazy. For 2 months, we were working like crazy to get the building ready. We painted hallways, we got electricians in and did a bunch of new electrical stuff on the stage. We put in new technology. We got a whole new kids area ready. Some of you might remember for the first couple weeks, we had this like real ragtag thrown together kids area, and we got this great new kids area together. And the big goal was we wanted to get everything ready for our grand opening service on March 8th. And so on March 8th, we had our grand opening service, and it was wonderful. The room was full with many of you and friends and neighbors, and it was this great service, and we're just so excited for the way that God was going to use this new building that we started meeting in. And this was the last service that we had in the building. That very next week was the beginning of us going online, and the building has sat empty ever since. And that is okay, because church is not a building, it is not a service. What church is a group of people like this.
My name's Costin.
My name's Michelle.
And we're a part of Christ Church Albany.
Hi, I'm Rita.
And I'm Jason, and we're the Grosses family.
And we are part of Christ Church Albany.
Hello, I'm John.
And I'm Faith.
And we're a part of Christ Church Albany.
We are the Vospers.
We are a part of Christ Church Albany.
Hi, my name is Betty.
And I'm Emmanuel.
And we are part of Christ Church Albany.
Bye.
Man, I love that. And isn't this cool, by the way? This is a graphic that Deschelle, who designs our website and a bunch of our logos for us, she made for us. It's a bunch of the pictures that are from, we have a new Facebook group called the CCA Family Group. So if you're not a part of that, we would love for you to join that group. But we stole a lot of your profile pictures, so I hope that's okay. But this is what the church is. The church is not a building, it is a group of people. And it's not just these people, it's not just the people that you saw in the video. It's all of you that are at home sitting on your couch in your pajamas. It's those of you that are listening to the podcast. It's those of you that are watching on YouTube. It's anyone that has made the decision that they want to love Jesus, that they want to love each other and love the world. And that is really good news. Because what I believe now more than ever, that what our world desperately needs is it needs a church. And by a church, I don't mean that it needs a big fancy building with a great paint job and new kids area and technology. It needs a group of people. Here's something you might remember. This is an old phone book. These used to be delivered to your house on a pretty regular basis. Or maybe they still are. I don't know. But it's kind of a neat thing because, I mean, in here you can see the names of every single person or most people that live in our city. There's about 97,000 people that live in the city of Albany. And you know, here's all the people with the last name that begins with G. Here's all the people with the last name that begins with H. And I don't know a lot of these people, but what we all know is that all the time, and especially in these crazy times in which we're living in, there's a lot of hardship and pain in the lives of a lot of people. That for sure, there's some people that are listed in these pages that they're not sure where their next meal is going to come from. They're not sure how they're going to pay next month's rent. That for sure, there's some marriages in here that are hanging on by a thread. That there's some parents that with being home with their kids for the last few weeks and having to homeschool them, and they're just at the end of their rope and they're just about to lose it, or they have lost it on their kids. That for sure there's some people in here that are business owners and they're not sure if their business is going to make it. There's some employees that have lost their jobs or been furloughed and they're not sure whether they're going to get back. There's some folks that have been home alone by themselves and they just desperately want someone to talk to them. They just don't want to feel so lonely inside. That there's a lot of folks who are just, they are stressed out. They are just feeling less hope, less peace. And what we believe is that God has a plan for every single one of them. That God doesn't want anyone to be lonely. God doesn't even want anyone to be hungry. God doesn't want anyone to have their marriage fall apart or have their families falling apart. That God has a plan for every single one of them. And God's plan is the church. That God's plan is you. That God's plan is me. And this isn't something that we made up. This isn't something that originated with Christ Church Albany. This is something that goes back at least 2,000 years. For the last few weeks, we have been studying this ancient letter called 1 Corinthians. It was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to one of the very first churches in the city of Corinth. And I love the city of Corinth because in so many ways, I think it parallels where we live now. The city of Corinth was a city of about 90,000 people, or a city of about 97,000 people. And many of the issues that they were struggling with are the same issues that we struggle with now. And many of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote to them to encourage them, to try to move them forward in this way of loving Jesus, is still the things that we need to hear now. And what we know is that Jesus loved the people of Corinth. That God wanted to see a revolution of peace and hope and love. He wanted to see the needs of that city met in amazing ways, just like he does in Albany. And here was his plan. Today, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. It says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" And that would have been a big statement to the people of Corinth, because they knew exactly what a temple was. As archaeologists have started to dig up ancient Corinth, they believe that there was dozens, if not hundreds, of temples all over the city of Corinth. It was a very religious, very spiritual city. If you go to Corinth today, you can still see the ruins of some of these temples, and one in particular was the temple to the Greek god Apollos. This is amazing structure. So, I mean, everyone in Corinth would have known this temple, would have walked by this temple, as well as all the others, and they knew exactly what a temple was. A temple represented God. If you wanted to go to ancient Corinth, if you wanted to know what Apollos was like, if you wanted to learn about Apollos, if you wanted to worship Apollos, if you wanted to know the things that were important to the god Apollos, then you needed to go to his temple. This is where Apollos would have lived. There would have been a big carving or structure there that represented, or in some cases was kind of seen as the god at the temples. There was goods and services that were given out. They would sacrifice to the idols, and then they would have all this food, and then they would give away food to anyone who needed it. And so that was the way in which they kind of took care of the food needs of people. Many of the temples would give clothes to people. There was often medical care that was given to people. You could tell a lot by what a god was like, by what their temple was like. How big the temple was, how beautiful the temple was, how many priests or priestesses, how you worship the god, because the temple was a representation of what that god was like. So if you were to go back to ancient Corinth and ask one of these early Christians, some of the first Christians on the planet, you know, just 20 years after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, you say, well, so where's your temple? Where do I go to find out about what your god is like? Where do I go to find out how great your God is? You know, where do I go to find out how powerful your God is? You know, where can I go where your God can provide for my needs, where he can give me food, where he can give me clothes, where he can take care of my needs? And these early Christians would have said, well, what Paul is telling us is that it's me. I am the temple. So if you want to know what our God is like, if you want your needs met by our God, then it's me. You need to watch how I live. You need to watch how I act. You need to watch how I talk, because I am the temple of God and God's Spirit lives in me. I am the representation of here's what God is like on this earth. I am God's plan to try to change the city of Corinth. And that's exactly what we still believe here in Albany, is we believe that God wants, he wants your neighbors, he wants your friends, he wants all the people in our city to know what he's like. He wants them to know how much he loves them. He wants them to know that he has a plan for their life. God wants everyone to know that this is what the loving grace, giving, give food, give shelter, be a mediator in a time of peace. This is what God is like. And God's plan for how he's going to do that on your street, in your office, in your family is you. And I don't know what your response to that is, but I'm guessing that there could be a response one of two ways. It could be a thought of like, whoa, that is not what I signed up for. I'm interested in this whole Jesus thing. I'm interested in becoming a better person. I'm excited to learn how to pray and read the Bible, you know, and that's all good. But like, I never signed up to be like the representative for church. I didn't sign up to be the poster child of here's what Christianity is going to look like. And two, I'm not sure that you want me to be the representative for what church is like or what Christianity is like. I'm not sure you want to hold up my marriage as like, this is what a Christian marriage should look like. I'm not sure you want to hold up my Friday nights as like, this is how a Christian is supposed to spend their Friday nights. I'm not sure you want to hold up the way I talk to my kids, the way that I do my work, as the way this is the way that things are supposed to go. And I totally get that. I had a friend a few years ago, and it used to be, I'm sure there still is, people would put these little fish on the back of their cars. It's called an Ixus, and it's got a cool history and Christian tradition to it. The old Seinfeld series called it the Jesus Fish. But it's this thing you would put on the back of your car, and it would kind of let other drivers know that the person driving this car is a Christian. And I had a friend who's like, there is no way that I would put one of those on the back of my car because I don't want people like aligning like the way that I drive with Christianity. And maybe that's the way you think. You're like, I don't want like the way that like I act with like my mom, my dad, and my family. Like, I don't want that pressure of being like, I represent Christianity to them and I have to act a certain way. Or I don't want the way that I operate at the office or the way that I operate with my neighbors. Like, I don't know if I want all that pressure and responsibility. And I get that. And here's the good news is that you are not alone. This church that Paul is writing to in the city of Corinth, they are a mess. In the first four chapters of Corinthians, what we find out is that in this little church, what most people believe is that the church in Corinth was about 90 people, made up of a couple different house churches. So it's about the same size as Christ Church Albany. And in this small community of people that know each other, that know their names, that know their faces, that are coming together, that in the first four chapters, it says there's at least four groups in this that are like totally at each other's throats. They all think that they're better. They all think that they're smarter than the other. We're going to find out in chapter 5 that there's one person in the church who is having an affair with their mother-in-law. We're going to find out that there's a couple different people in the church that when they come together, they take communion, and they take communion with real wine, and they were drinking so much at communion that they were getting blackout drunk and had to be carried home. And this didn't happen once. This was happening over and over and over again. We're going to find out that there's people in the church that are suing each other. I mean, this church is just a mess. And what Paul is going to say is that you guys, church in Corinth, with all of your issues, with all your divisions, with crazy affairs, with crazy drunkenness, with all these crazy issues, that you are the temple of God, that I can use even you, that God can use even you. Whatever your doubts are, whatever your failings are, whatever the issues are that you bring to the table, whatever you think is the reason of why God couldn't possibly use somebody like me. Man, when I tell my family, when I tell my office, you know, they're just going to bring up, you know, they know who I really am. God can use even someone like you. And God believes that we can change, that we can get better. Much of what Paul is writing to this church in Corinth is he wants to remind them that God absolutely loves you as you are, that God has absolutely forgiven you of your sins. And I really want you to get better because I need you to be a good representation of who God is. I need you to get better, and this is for you, and this is for the people that are watching you. And we believe that you can get better. We believe that we can get better and that we can do it together. So we're going to take communion together. And one of the reasons why we take communion each week is to remind us that we are not perfect, that none of us are perfect, that we desperately need God's love. And that's really important to remember. I think it's easy in church world sometimes to have this feeling that we need to act, we need to fake like we have it all together. And we don't want to be that kind of a church because we don't have it all together. We have to be honest. We have to be real. And when we're real, then we can forgive each other, we can love each other, and we can better understand how much God loves us. But we also don't want to be people who just stay at that level, because it's easy for the church to get a bad representation. Anybody know any obnoxious Christians? Anybody know any churches that you think have turned other people away from God? We don't want to be that kind of church. We don't want to be those kind of Christians. And Paul didn't want the people in Corinth to be that, because like it or not, we are the representation. And God wants to work inside of us to forgive us of our sins and to help us move forward and to change. So let's take communion together. And as we do, let's remember that God loves us, that God wants to use you. I am confident God wants to use you in your family. He wants to use you on your street. He wants to use you in your office to do amazing things. And God believes that you can take steps forward, that God wants to work inside of you so that you are not just a representation, but you are a great representation, that you are moving to become a mature Christ-like disciple, that inside of you can embody the love and the peace and the patience that was in Jesus Himself. That can happen the more we enter into this way of living with Jesus. So let's take the bread together. Let's take the cup together. And as we end, I want to pray. And this past week, we've been sending out these Next Step emails every Sunday after church. You'll get one today after service at around 11:30. If you're not getting it, then make sure you sign the connection card, and we'll make sure that we have your email now so we can start sending it to you. But we put a prayer in there last week, and we encourage you to pray it every single day. And I've been praying it, and it's just so, I believe, has the ability to transform us, to take us from being who we are to being closer to Jesus, to being better represents, to being better temples of who God is. So as we end, I'm going to say this prayer, and I would invite you to pray it with me. And this might be a little bit funny because you're in your living room with your family, or maybe you're by yourself, wherever you are, but I'm going to ask you to say these words out loud as I say them together. And so let's start. Let's put our hands in the air. Let's say these words together. I choose to hold my hand up as a symbol of surrender. My life is not about me. I surrender to your lordship. I surrender my preferences, prejudices, and position to you. I surrender my fears, finances, friends, and family to you. Now let's hold our hands open like this. I choose to hold my hands out open as a symbol of generosity. What I have is not mine. I am only a steward of all that you have given me. I want to mirror the way that you open your hand to us and lavish your love and life upon us. I want to live an open-handed life in a closed-fist culture. And lastly, we're going to stick our hands out forward. That I choose to hold my hands forward as a symbol of mission. I want to live for something greater than me. I want to embrace your kingdom mission. I want to embrace and welcome your mission to the lost, the last, the least, and the lonely. To the poor, powerless, privileged, and persecuted. And can you imagine? Can you imagine if there was a group of people that were daily praying those prayers of surrender and generosity and mission? And if the Spirit of God is as real as we think He is, and that Spirit starts to work through our lives and through our actions and through our words, isn't that what our community and world needs? Love you. Noah's going to sing one last song. We'll see you next week.